Most people that come see her are years old.
I'll go see her.
Problem is, we'll all go too, and we'll be able to use her.
I'll go see her.
What do you mean, will be?
Neighbors.
Was Kevin bad?
That's a dangerous place for him to
sit
be.
Sit back there and think about what you've done, young man.
Ecclesiastes 10. Yesterday we talked about how this weird scripture about the words of a wise man's mouth are pious, but the lips of the fool will swallow up of himself. And we saw that. And then in verse 4, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is madness. We talked about how the ancients applied that both to Cyrus and to Moses. And if you didn't hear it, you need to. Because it shows how this is you and I. This is all men. We think that we have wisdom, but the end is madness, mischievous madness. But now, in verse 14, a fool is full of words, or a fool multiplieth his words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The idea of a fool is full of words, or multiplieth words, is almost universally, by all of the ancient rabbis and the ancient commentators, applied to false prophets. And so, what is a false prophet? Let's go, the first reference to it is in Deuteronomy 18. So I can't tell you the verse until you're at the 18?
I'm there again.
Verse 15. This is the reference prophesying Christ. The Lord God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Now, the people of Israel were no different than we are, and we would have done the same. We begged Moses not to ever hear the voice of God again. Why? Because it brought such terror that they couldn't bear it. And if you want to read that, go read with the first reference to it in Exodus 19, or 18 and 19. And yet we have, and we've had throughout history, people who seem to be talking to God every other day. God is telling them this and which stock to invest in. And it's just crap. And oh, God was in our presence today. And now we've got it where it's applied to something called the anointing. And all of the charismatic preachers are talk about how the anointing is so full here that, and all it is this group think. It's when you get a large, it's the same as a rock concert. The same anointing that's in Benny Hinn's crusade is in the rock concert. Because what we should be afraid of is that God will speak to us, and that God will arise. And then that woman that wrote the book about we shouldn't sit in comfortable pews. If you go to church, they should issue you crash helmets and padding so that if by perchance the Lord arose, you would have some protection. Now, we don't want to hear that because we want our God to be our nice little buddy and our little friend. And so that, because when we can do that, then there doesn't have to be repentance. We can say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And we can draw little pictures about how the cross went over the gap. And the cross, you know, the cross is just a pathway that you walk across instead of facing the horror of your great sin. And so, throughout history, from the very beginning of the scriptures, from Moses, from Abraham, the whole there've been people who wanted to enhance themselves or their agenda, and so they put the name of God on it. And we have, you know, it has to be such a stench in the nostrils of God that we must stand in amazement of his long suffering, of his mercy. And so the question is, what do we do with the false prophets? What happened?
Just a note there, it's like I can hear the voice of Jesus ring out, even now forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. It's like as an intercessor about that, you know, I can see how, why.
Well, it's really the seventh angel. The seventh angel, you remember he's waiting, and he's been waiting now for, well, since before the foundation of the earth. The seventh angel has been waiting to stand and arise and say the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more. But what's holding him? What's holding that from happening, and what's holding the seven vials of Revelation is the mercy of God. And the mercy of God isn't this sloppy agape that he's just doing it because he loves us so much and he's waiting. No, he's waiting for his plan to be accomplished. He's waiting for the bride to purify herself by putting on only the righteousness of Christ. But throughout history, throughout not just Christian or Jewish history, throughout all history, there have been these idiots that come up with all kinds of tricks to cause people to believe that they are special. And we see evidence of it, whether it's in the pyramids or the great temples of ancient Egypt or the various oracles that go into trances and, you know, and all of the fascination with anything, because you got to know what's going to happen next, because that's the nature of us. And so there's this one particular scripture that we're going to say here. So the first part of this is talking about Jesus. Now, in verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, the way that was taken during the time that much of this book was prepared, there were just as many, in a percentage basis, false prophets then as there are now. The difference is that then, for this period, if the prophet spoke something that didn't come to pass, are you reading ahead or are you listening?
I'm reading what you just read and I'm kind of getting it.
Okay. You know, sometimes. Remember, everybody at the same place at the same time. If you and if you're doing that, then stop me.
Okay. This is past tense in the sense, because the prophet who does that has died on the cross.
Well, I mean, that's just listen to this. What they did for many years, and the ancient documents are full of it. For the God to whom we give obeisance and to whom we worship, if somebody spoke a prophecy and said, "This is going to come to pass, and this is of God," and it proved that it wasn't, they were killed. Their total family was killed. Their children were killed, and all of their writings were destroyed. And in order for a prophecy to have made it into the scriptures, the prophecy had to be in what's called the double phase or double stage. It had to be something prophesied within the prophet's lifetime that would come to pass. And that wasn't just because, you know, it looked like that was going to happen, or it looked like they were going to have good economics, or we're going to have a... It was something that was, you know, totally out of... And if it didn't come to pass, then everything that he died, then everything that he wrote was destroyed, and all his kids were killed. And so when you read Isaiah or Jeremiah or Haggai or any of the what we call the prophets, they all had to have this test.
That's why they didn't really want to go into the prophet business.
They didn't want to go into the prophet business.
They didn't want to hear from God like that. Don't make me go say.
So that there's a reason why the scriptures became canon. I mean, why? And again, the only thing that was considered canon or Torah, or the only thing that was really considered scripture, even at the time of Christ, was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah. Then the prophets and the writings were given because of the rebellion. And so the New Testament says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, they're specifically talking about the Torah, the first five books, the Pentateuch. That's what they say, all scripture. The rest of it, it was given by inspiration of God because it had to pass all these tests. And it's not a history book. It's not a science book. It's a book of the revelation of the Messiah, the purpose of time, the Koma, the desired one of the nations. And no matter where we are in history, people have tried to make it into a science book or a history book or an archaeology book. Or it's not that. Archaeology may prove something, or science may prove something, or history may prove something, but that's not its intent. Its intent is to be a revelation of an incredible mystery, the purpose of time and space, why you were born, why things go like they... And it was so therefore its purpose was to cause you to see that and then repent and then turn from self. That's always been the purpose. So the New Testament is really, it's not anything new. It's a completed testament. It shows everything from Genesis to Malachi. There were types and parables and all of one thing of this Messiah. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are the fulfillment of all of those scriptures. That's why Jesus said that over and over again. He said the law and the prophets prophesied until John. And then when he searched the scriptures, you think you're looking for something, for principles of life, but you fools, they are they which testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he showed unto them all the scriptures himself. Now, so it's not a... So then we come to the letters. The letters are the expression or the exhortation for the expression of the fulfillment, that completed fulfillment of everything in his people. And then the book of Revelation sits over all of time because it's always the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not revelations. It's singular, revelation. Now, again, throughout all of time, there have been false prophets that wanted to make merchandise of you. And how we fall for it. And it doesn't matter whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Islam or Shinto or Hinduism or anything else. They're full of false prophets. And all of them, the picture of the false prophet is, there's something left for you to do, and this is how you get what you want.
What's an example of being made of merchandise, though?
Judge Mail.
George Foreman Smokers.
Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? Is there anybody that doesn't understand this sort of panoramic view?
I'm kind of still taken by where we started. The idea that hearing the voice of God was so terrifying that they begged not to hear it, that Moses' face couldn't even be looked at, just his face, after being in the presence of God. The idea that this God that we tap dance in front of and sing our little songs and put on our little act is...
He's not fooled.
Is so terrifying that you can't even hear his voice.
Our God is a consuming fire. Now, but even our thought system, the way we think about things, the way we think about life, we always add on things to this mystery. And so it makes us false prophets. We can't possibly conceive that it's finished. We can't possibly forgive because, you know, when Jesus says forgive from the heart, which means, you know what it means. So we our life is based on all of these little things and our little hopes and little, oh, and if only this, and oh, I wish I were there, and oh, I wish I were that. And, you know, it's not just that we should beware of false prophets and expose them, but we should see that we are the false prophets. That's what your voices are. That's what they do. You wouldn't consider, you know, as a believer, you wouldn't consider taking on the evil one as your right-hand man. But you do. And his little friends.
You know, one of those scriptures that every now and then we'll say, don't add or take away anything from, you know, that's all we do is just add our little spin on stuff, and we're committing that sin every time.
And the point of it, what makes us a false prophet, therefore we shall die. Well, if you've seen this, then you don't have to play. You don't have to pay attention to those voices. You don't have to. There's nothing that you fear. My God, what, that would be stupid. There's nothing that can take you off the mercy seat. Doesn't matter what it is. And so once you're sitting on the mercy seat, then it's so easy. You can't possibly be seduced except by the internal voices. Your little friends. That's what pulls you off. You know, you see an opportunity to enhance yourself just for a second. You see an opportunity to justify yourself just for a second. And boom, you've traded the mercy seat for the judgment seat. Because you've been seduced as a serpent beguiled Eve. Yeah. I promise you this, throughout history, they will kill you for saying this. And they, if not actually shoot you, they'll totally, boom, separate from you. Now, let's go specifically to Jeremiah 14. Does anybody see that? I mean, do anybody not see the predicate of what we're talking about this morning?
I just seen some of the danger of being a disciple and hearing the words "pick up your cross"
and ignoring it,
and toying with it.
Well, you can't. That means you ignored it.
Yeah, and you don't.
Same thing.
No, it's this thing you're playing with God as a puppet would manipulate a strap puppet. I mean, somebody would manipulate a puppet on a string.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get, so you try to pray right, and then you learn how to pray, and then you try to learn how to praise, and then you learn how to love. And I promise you, if you have to learn how, then it's filtered through the evil one. It's meaningless. It's just hypocrisy. You're learning how to be this really good hypocrite that can cope with anything. Ooh.
And you're trying to dance in both worlds. You're trying to.
Well, you love the darkness. You love the twilight and hate the light. What, John?
I know.
Oh,
that comes out.
I'm just thinking.
What?
I'm just having a conversation.
I'm thinking of a story that I read recently, I was reminded of at Big Group on Sunday when John read the scripture of.
That's when I was watching 60 Minutes.
Yeah, well, you were off. We were at church.
thanks to Kevin.
About the wedding feast at Canaan, turning the water into wine, and how that was backwards. You know, the good wine first, last, and so forth. I read the story of Moses. Did the rabbi's style, going to the mountaintop to receive the commandments. As he's almost at the peak, he goes around a little corner, and there's a bush burning, a small bush with a flame in it. And it's really a neat story. It says that the bush was not consumed. It was green because God's love burns cool and all that stuff. But the bush said to him, "Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." And Moses said, "You mean God's here?" And the bush said, "No, he's coming. He's coming." So he took off his shoes and went around the corner, and there he was given the tablets. But once again, it's backwards. We live our lives like God is going to, we're going to have this divine intervention in our lives, going to drag us through success, going to drag us through health. But we want God there first. We don't want to be the first one. We don't want to go before God. It's like a cat and mouse game, only we're big time losers on that.
Yeah, that's why that's what the Book of Solomon, the Song of Solomon is about. It's about, you can't see him. You always want to, he's just.
Well, it's even more obvious than that to me. I mean, we do things, and then we're disappointed when God doesn't show himself. Well, I was good today, why did things not work out well for me? Rather than do those things and have God's presence as a result of it.
Amen. All right, Jeremiah 14.
We've all been there. That will teach you how to judge what he's thinking about.
I'm just not getting there.
John.
I'll say it for y'all.
Let's start in verse 9. Well, verse 8. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior, thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, or in us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Now that's pretty heavy. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine those prophets be consumed. Anyway, it goes on and on. It's a warning, again, that's the same as today. Anybody that's saying that any kind of gain is an evidence of God, even if the gain is more knowledge of God. It's so endemic to this beast that we all are, that we perceive, and we even taking this word blessed, and we think blessed means God gave us something, or God fixed us, or God made us nice, or God, it has nothing to do with it. Blessed means not subject to the fates. And so nobody can, if you understand this, you can never again be deceived by your little voices. You can never be a wanderer again. Remember the thing that we...
Yeah, when you come into the land, a wanderer was I.
Yeah.
Wanderer ready to perish.
I want you not. What do we all? I mean, at the minute that we see a perceived lack, what is our response? Now the lack can be anything. Our response is to wander, roam through the corridors of time and space in our mind, trying to think, come up with a solution to a fix. But we, and then if something doesn't go right, then it's always the fingers come out, boom, 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 boom. The message is—it's the messenger that's the problem. Oh, it's. This man.
You got to find the right potion or the right charm or the right incantation to solve the problem.
It's all this. What? It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. No matter what it looks like, it's exactly as it should be. Stop leaning on your own arm of understanding for a solution. You never judge by what you don't have. When the time comes, it will always be whatever you need will be there. But you don't have to go back up to those mountains over and over and over again. You don't have to go up and off your ointments and perfumes to the false gods. You know they're lying. You don't have to go play these idiotic games of your mind. And I, some of you may have noticed, I've been a little impatient lately over certain things.
Yes, you have.
Because it's the impatience is, my God, you should know by now not to drink sour milk. Now, with this understanding, what we just read, let's go to, well, I'm out of time.
No, go ahead. You got to roll over.
I missed that.
Hmm?
What have you been impatient? It was like you made like a joke, and I don't know what the joke was.
That's what's the thing? If you didn't, if
you don't,
if you're in a poker game,
you
and you're in a, and you're in, if you're in a poker game, you don't know who the Patsy is, you are?
Yeah.
If you have to ask, it's too much.
And that would be apropos because...
You haven't been impatient about things?
No. No, you said you've been impatient.
I said, no.
Maybe you've noticed I've been impatient about something.
Well,
let me
give you an example. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, when you were telling me and trying to tell me about what we had to do to get Kimberly's fixed.
Yeah, but I didn't think that was impatient. I understood.
I just sort of dismissed you before you even said anything.
No, I understood what you were saying before. You didn't have to finish it.
No, he's cool with it.
That's cool.
All right.
Kiss my hand.
You can. You can take care of it.
We'll spend a little more time on the false prophets. Take it, big guy.
I gotta go home and get a plaid shirt.
Yeah.